Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Behind the scenes, behind the glass, there's no sports, it's Matt and Matt, two producers who happen to be homies, just chilling on the junkies, yeah. It's bit season, what a time to be alive, bit season, couple of regular guys, it's bit season, go have yourself a laugh, it's bit season, ha 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 ha.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Bit Season, episode 114. I'm Drab T-Shirt.
I'm Matt Valdez. Hey, before we get started, I need a request.
All right.
Drabby, I need a request. I'm sorry. Charles Bit Season, if you're listening, you need to check your email. Please check your email, Charles Bit Season. I know you want to be anonymous, and you made anonymous emails and Venmos to get in contact with me, but I need to get in contact with you. Please check your
and remind the listeners, Charles Bit Season is the guy who randomly out of nowhere bought you tickets to the Zach Bryan concert in the nosebleeds.
Yeah, yes, he is.
He's thumbing your nose at
him. No, not thumbing my nose. I'm very grateful for him. And he was an emergency in case JVS couldn't come through. But I need to get in contact with Charles Bit Season because I think I accepted the tickets and I can't find him on my phone.
Charles, get at him.
That's the PSA. Please hit me up.
Valdez, I got to be honest. I'm a little uncomfortable doing this show in this studio today with all the diseases floating around.
I know.
I don't understand
Broadcasting from a petri dish.
For what Jason was doing this morning, coming in here, which I just assume is probably some variation of COVID. He looked terrible. He was coughing all over the place.
He sounded terrible.
And then he took a nap at 6 a.m. on our producer couch. Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, our casting couch.
And then came in here for 20 minutes and then went home. JP's got pink eye, and he somehow thinks covering it up with glasses is keeping it from spreading.
That's a weird one. I'm more worried about pink eye than I am, I guess, about Lurch's virus or whatever he has, because I don't like pink eye. It's very, very contagious, and it just makes me think JP's having a lot of butt stuff doing.
I think there's a lot of butt play in his life.
I know,
and he tried to play it off. It didn't even make any sense. He said, "My daughter's sick. She's got an ear infection, and I think somehow I got pink eye out of it." And I went, "What? Yeah. That's not how that works." Yeah. I know your whole family's been sick for like a month, but pink eye comes from something else.
Yeah, pink eye comes from duty.
Yeah. You know who gets pink eye? My kids get pink eye because they put their hands in their booty hole all the time because they're toddlers.
You're either not washing your hands after wiping, or you and Jess are having fun in the boudoir.
Hey, I do have an update for you, Valdez. This past weekend, I know I've gotten a lot of grief on the show about not potty training my kids.
Oh, yeah. That's
and
true.
I think we've made a lot of progress. It was pretty much a four-day weekend because we had Saturday, Sunday, MLK Day, and then Tuesday was a snow day.
Yeah.
So they got 4 days at home. We had numerous accidents, but that's part of the process.
Right. I don't understand why. So when you're potty training, I don't have kids.
Yeah.
So you need to, like, have them have accidents so they learn?
I think that's kind of it, because you put them in underwear. First of all, my wife called them panties, and I said, you cannot call our girls' underwear panties. Okay,
put your panties on.
I was so creeped out. I said, Sarah, you gotta stop. You gotta stop.
Tinsley, where's your thong?
I said, Sarah, you wear panties. They wear underwear
undies.
Or undies, okay? They can be panties when they turn 18.
or 38.
Or when I'm dead.
Yeah, when I'm dead.
But yeah, we made a lot of progress. Which was interesting, though, as I didn't really know this, is that they didn't do any duties all weekend.
So I can't really say, because I guess what happens is very common is that they're so shy. They're scared, basically.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so they back themselves up.
Oh, boy.
And so they just had these massive bellies. Like on Tuesday, so bloated. I felt bad for them. Tried to give them some stuff to make it work itself out.
It looks like a 50-year-old at the beach where their beer bellies protruding out.
But it is pretty crazy. Like, they do pick things up. Kids pick things up pretty quickly. Like, their entire life they've been going peeing in their diapers, and then you just spend a couple days with them, training them, and then they get excited because you got to attach treats to it, you know.
Yeah. What was their reward for peeing?
Skittles and M&Ms.
Okay.
I'm also a donk. I went and bought Oreo. I went to Target. Okay. This is what I thought. This is what dumb drab the dad. This is why dads are dumb. I go, all right, well, I also didn't realize how often kids are going to go pee. When they're potty trained. They go like every 15 minutes.
Kids have squirrel bladders.
They have squirrel bladders, but once they get excited about it, they want to keep going and stuff like that.
Yeah, they want more treats.
So I go, I'm at Target. I go, well, there's the Oreos. Okay, I'm going to get Oreos for, I'm going to get the Oreo cakesters for when they go duty. I'll get the golden Oreos for every time they take a leak.
Okay, yeah.
So I bring them home, and then Sarah looks, she's like, what do you do? You can't give them a cookie every 10 minutes. You know, she goes, no, we got to go to the store. You got to get like Skittles or M&Ms, and they get one or two every time they do something. And I'm like, okay. And that actually turned out pretty well because I wasn't overdosing them. By like the first day before Sarah got up when I started it, I was just pumping a full of Oreos.
Like, hey, I like this too. Munching on them. Hey, isn't it it's a little disrespectful.
What? What's that?
That you're teaching your kids to on MLK Day.
I is it less disrespectful if I do it on Christmas?
I don't know. Maybe just as disrespectful.
How much time did you spend thinking about MLK on Monday?
I spent a lot of time reflecting.
I'm going to be honest. There's these Monday holidays.
They all blend together.
I don't spend... It's a fault of my own. I'm maybe a terrible person. I'm not spending a lot of time thinking. A Memorial Day, yes. All right. I do like thinking about those who gave their life for this country.
You think
I'm thinking about George Washington and Abe? Next month?
I think.
Or Labor Day, all the laborers out there?
I think President's Day is a little less disrespectful than MLK Day. Because MLK Day, you're kind of.
I know.
You're reflecting.
Reflecting on the positive changes in this country.
President's Day, I feel like you can get away with duty training on.
Maybe that's fair. Maybe that's fair.
Labor Day, probably can get away with duty training.
I feel like we can get away with it here in D.C. a little bit, because if I want to spend time thinking about MLK, I can go see the monument out there, the plaque on the Lincoln Memorial, where I have the dream speech.
Yeah.
I can go see the African American Museum. Yeah. You see how I'm spinning this?
I had a dream where my two little girls one day can poop in the house.
I gotta say, it was nice going to Costco and not buying a $50 box of diapers that lasts you about 10 days.
That's true.
So that was nice. But then, you know, the next step is you got to always just, they're going to want to go to the bathroom all the time. And so you're taking them into gross bathrooms. I'm taking them into the men's room. They're going to have to go duty in the men's room. So that's the next step of whatever.
That sounds like a disaster.
But a positive change. Look, they've only been three for a couple months. So I'm pretty much right on par of when they're supposed to be potty. Maybe a little earlier.
I have a question about potty training. Is it a faux pas to, because if I have kids, I would potty train them by saying, look what daddy's doing. And then just kind of be like,
that's an interesting question, Valdez.
Is that,
do I take leaks in front of them? Not on purpose, but toddlers wander all over the house. So if I'm going standing up and taking a leak and they walk into the bathroom, like, I can't, there's nothing you can do. So they're going to see your Jimmy Johnson. You know,
I know, but if you're trying to teach someone,
I wouldn't make sense. I don't think they would about that.
Look, and then you hear the water running down.
No, you
sit down and go and say, look what daddy's doing. You do what daddy's doing.
No, they kind of know.
Is that creepy and weird?
That's probably a little, they already know what going potty means. Like, they just, we've talked about it enough, so they know. And they know when they go the in their diapers and all that stuff, so they know what it meant. But I think the actual sensation for them of like, oh, I'm sitting on the toilet, okay, and knowing like when to go pee or how to go pee, basically, controlling it. That's the thing, like, or uncontrolling it, letting it loose, if that makes sense, on command.
And then they call you into the bathroom and say, Dad, can you wipe?
No. They're just, Daddy, I went potty. I went pee-pee. And they're jumping up and down and all that stuff. So, yeah, it's kind of fun because it's a little game, and then there's a lot of candy involved and a lot of wet, some wet underwear. Progress has been made.
Wet panties.
Wet panties. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, so that's your potty training update, Valdez. We got actually a lot of junky stuff to get into today. We had a caller who went toe to toe with Lurch. We got AWOD calling in talking about updating the junkies on his girlfriend. But I thought the most interesting kind of segue on the show this week, and we didn't spend enough time on it. But what the hell was that? When EB asked Cakes, because he listens to heavy metal, if he worships the devil, was that not the stunning moment of the year?
It was very stunning. It was almost like Eric was reenacting his mother. You know what I mean?
There was a lot of that in there.
His mom was all. What's the band where you play it backwards? That's they play Satan.
I can't remember, but
was it Chicago or something like that? Or if you play the record backwards, it's a Satan worshiping song. That's what I thought Eric was thinking at the time. But it was almost like he was pretending to be his mother, who caught him listening to AC/DC.
I think that. I can't. I kind of figure it out, but EB likes to go down. EB, I think, is. You call me impressionable. EB is very impressionable. Think about like Vinny and Joe and people things that he's into can kind of warp his mind a little bit. So EB's like we kind of dabble into a little bit, but he's like into all these weird conspiracy theories and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of Satanism in these conspiracy theories that he's into. The devil is big.
So hold on. So Satanism is front and center on his brain.
Yes.
And so
he's doing a lot of reading on it. So like with the Illuminati thing. I don't really know, but I think he reads that kind of stuff, right? Uh-huh. Devil worshiping thing. Maybe it's a Comet Pizza thing. I honestly don't really know, but I hear him referencing Satan a lot, okay? Like off air, and I don't really know what it's about, but it's just somewhat weird. So I think it's like top of mind for him, right? But what about the fact where he said, I know lots of Satanists. and then JP was like, name one. Oh, really? Name one. And he couldn't name one. Of course he couldn't name one. You know, so he gets into these wormholes, and I think it poisons his brain. But also his mother has a big effect on him, because his mother probably told him growing up, so-and-so, these are Satanists. That was like a big 80s thing.
I definitely was. Or 90s thing. Cults, Satanists, heavy metal music, and like video game violence.
Mm-hmm.
And then, they were all like intertwined, I feel like, in the 90s.
And then you know what's also kind of interesting?
Like Doom.
Not to talk about faith and religion on the show, but he said, okay, he goes, would you consider yourself a Christian? Right? He asked Cakes that, okay? I'm like, oh God, where is this going? And then Cakes was like, no, I guess not. And then JP's like, he's agnostic. And so, and then he goes, like, EB had a tough time computing that a nice guy like Cakes
like wouldn't be a wholesome Christian.
Isn't a godly man. I think he used the word godly. And I'm like, Eric, come on. You're a smart guy. You're a smart guy. Like, not every, you don't have to be a godly person to necessarily to have values and morals and to be kind. Come on. You've been on this planet for 54 years now. Surely you know people that are nice people that aren't necessarily
go to church
or
even
overly religious.
Or even not believe in God.
Of course. Yeah, and it's like, how do you not know this? You're talking to cakes here. This is someone you know so well. It was just so strange. The whole conversation was strange yet amusing to me.
What classifies a Satanist, by the way? Is it devil worshiping, or is it wearing all black mascara? Like, in order to be a Satanist, you have to worship. Well, it's slimming.
Mm-hmm.
does that mean you have to?
I don't really know.
Does that mean the devil is your god if you're a Satanist? I don't know the criteria.
I'm going to be honest, Valdez. Either do I. Mean, yeah, that you...
Like, are you praying to Lucifer?
I don't. Maybe there's not praying involved, but maybe you...
Like, in order to be a Satanist, you need to make sacrifices.
There probably are sacrifices involved, particularly the worship of Satan. Do you know Satan's biblical name, Valdez?
Beelzebub.
No, that's a myth. Lucifer.
Yeah, that's what I just said, Lucifer.
Oh, you did?
Listening to me.
I was Googling here. I was pulling a JP. The Church of Satan. I don't know. I know it's like a real group.
Is there a Facebook group?
Like in one of these states, you know, because I saw it like one of these states had an nativity scene. I have no opinion on this really whatsoever, I guess, but maybe it's ridiculous, but everything's ridiculous these days. There was a group in like, what do you call it? Rotunda of like a state rotunda in one of the like Tennessee or something. Okay. Right? And so they had a nativity scene.
Uh-huh.
And so because of that, the Church of Satan in that state demanded that they also get representation. And so there was like a Satan.
Someone that looked like Darth Maul.
Yes.
The nativity scene.
Yeah. It was like roped off and it was like a statue of Lucifer or something like that. And I'm like, oh God, this is like, everything's getting so weird.
Do they have a picture of Lucifer? Cause I know they have like pictures of Jesus.
Here, this is the first picture of Lucifer. He looks very demon like.
Oh, I envision the devil to be like handsome.
Really?
Yes. When I picture the devil in my brain, I almost like the TV series Lucifer. Isn't that guy dreamy? Slick back hair.
I haven't seen that.
I envision Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves in Devil's Advocate. That's where I get all my Satanism from.
You know, when I hear the word devil now, I think of that catchy ass song by She's the Devil, the Paint the Town Red song. It's like the number one pop song. Doja Cat sings it.
Oh, okay.
You got to get on TikTok more and Instagram. It's like on everyone. She's the devil, she's a bad bitch, or something like that. You would know the song, of course.
All right, if I heard it, I would know it. But that's where I get all my devil references
from a 30-year-old movie.
Yeah, Al Pacino. He needed Keanu Reeves
Keanu Reeves never lost a case.
Yes.
There was like, I remember thinking that movie was too weird for me. Like,
it was very weird.
I just wasn't that into it. Was there a lot of like blood or like a miscarriage or something?
Yes. His wife had a miscarriage.
Was it Charlize Theron?
I forget who played his wife, but then like he was supposed to have sex with Al Pacino's like daughter to create a little Lucifer.
Wasn't that take place in Gainesville, Florida? I think it did. I remember Gainesville.
He was undefeated in Gainesville. Yeah, okay, and then he moved up to New York to work for Al Pacino's firm.
My college football brain only retains Gainesville from that movie that I saw. I haven't seen in 20-something years. All right. That was the weirdest moment of the week for me. EB asking Cakes if he worships the devil.
That was very weird.
And then, of course, right on cue, I love JP. He's Googling songs by the devil, and it was like devil songs, and he's just reading them off in the midst of two other guys having a conversation about it. It was just a microcosm of the show in general.
Hey, speaking of JP,
yeah.
You know what I noticed? And I noticed this during the Ron versus Lurch fight, which we will talk about. But yeah. JP, I noticed this. JP does not trust. He has a little bit of trust for anything that we all say.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you.
Well, not me, because I'm an exaggerator. So he doesn't really trust anything I say. You have much more credibility than me with JP.
Jason, Eric, Cakes. We have a little bit of credibility.
Yeah.
But when callers say stuff, JP does not believe them at all. He will immediately try to fact check or correct or find what you're saying is wrong. To whenever anyone says, "Oh, in 2019, Lamar Jackson had 2,000 rushing yards." You know what I mean? And he's immediately immediately Googling to see if that's correct. And I noticed that because when Ron and Jason had kind of their on-air kerfuffle, he was immediately fact-checking Ron. And I, you know what? I believed Ron as soon as he was saying it because he sounded like he knew his stuff.
He was definitely passionate. Here, I think what we need to play a little snippet of that call because it was a small portion of the show, and I think it's important for our Bit Season biddies here to hear the back and forth on that call, which I thought was a pretty good sports radio back and forth. All right, here, let's take a listen.
I just told you what it was. Put his numbers up against any of y'all so-called whatever quarterbacks that don't got no Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Only Pat Mahomes do. But y'all claim all these other guys so great. They ain't got no rings.
Ron, if he got to the Super Bowl, it would be a different discussion.
He got no rings. Did I stutter?
All right, no rings. All right, Ron, see you later, buddy.
See you, Ron.
You're not letting us talk.
You're not letting us talk, Ron.
I mean, you're spouting off.
I've heard you talk for the last 30 minutes.
We haven't had one of those in a while, Drav.
I like the passion. Can I say something? When we were discussing, because when Valdez and I, we actually before the show at like 5:30 in the morning on Wednesday, we were yelling at each other about Dak, and neither one of us care at all about Dak.
Yeah, I don't give two craps about Dak.
And so I said, I don't even know how it got started.
It's almost like you're arguing about mindsets, like where you are in terms of, like, I feel like you think one way if your ideology is glass half full, and you feel the other way if your ideology is glass half empty.
So I knew if Valdez and I were having a back and forth and we don't care about the Cowboys, that there was a potential there for kind of some explosive and butthurt feelings from the weekend of Cowboy fans calling in either defending or hating on Dak that he can't ever win the big game. All right, well, let's talk about first, was Ron a good sports radio caller?
Yes.
I say no.
Okay.
Potential is there. The potential is there. But here's the thing. You can't, even if you're the host, I hate that. If you're having an argument back and forth, you got to let the other person say something. And Ron wasn't letting Lurch, who's the host of the show, say anything. So you think that Lurch was wrong to hang up on him?
I thought Ron was a little disrespectful, but I'll say this is that we haven't had that in a while. And maybe that's why it kind of felt so good is like, I felt like the show and Jason kind of got uppercut a little bit.
What do you mean? Like he wasn't prepared.
Yeah, he wasn't prepared. He wasn't prepared. And Ron was way more prepared than I felt like Jason was. And I don't necessarily think Ron was right about what he was saying, but what he was saying, he had facts, he had stats, and he had examples to back it up. Like Jason,
but he didn't have etiquette.
But he didn't have etiquette.
Yeah.
But even though Jason ultimately is right, probably at the end of the day, Jason just kept saying like cliche and cliche without any kind of support. That's why if I were Judge Judy in this, I would award Ron the victory. If I was Judge Miles Lane, I would award Ron the belt.
You got to knock out the champ, okay? And Ron came in hot, and he had some great shots on him, and Lurch was unprepared, but the problem was that he didn't finish it. Lurch gave him an opportunity to relax a little bit.
Yeah.
And you know what else I noticed? EB and you were enjoying Ron, and you, I think, wanted, because you are quick to hang up on people. If they say hang up, or someone's a bad caller, or they're annoying, Valdez, you know, EB puts the callers on the air, but lots of times you guys don't know this, that Valdez will hang up on people that they're annoying to him or bad on the air. Valdez takes control of the mouse on his end, and he'll just hang up on the caller. When Lurch was saying, hang up on him, you didn't move a muscle. You didn't flinch. You just stood there.
Because it was
You were given orders from Bish, and you did not
I didn't
follow
carry
through.
Out my orders.
Yes, that was a direct order from Jason.
It was
and
good.
You let him
good.
Hung him out to dry.
I did hang him out
that
to dry.
That was your producer instincts trying to take over there.
It was, because what I was hearing was good. And plus, you know what? It's
aren't
good.
You supposed to protect the host if he's getting embarrassed?
No. I'm supposed to protect the host from themselves. Not being run circles around a caller. All right? Uh-huh. When Jason says something politically incorrect, I protect him, not when he's getting smoked by a Cowboys fan.
Hey, I did enjoy this.
I do like to think that Ron was probably having that argument with himself at night after the loss.
Right? Yeah. Pointing out his strengths and weaknesses, his game balls and gas.
Yeah, he was doing his own personal deck.
I think Ron should call back in anytime he wants. And I told you, I love fiery callers. And if you're, I mean, obviously, if you're a dud, and
I felt like it was. It was low hanging fruit, though. Like for Jason, just to say, cut him off, hang up on him when Ron was cooking.
Right.
But he was cooking. But
it was annoying. It was kind of annoying.
I know it was getting annoying.
You can't just scream and not let the other person say anything, because then you can't understand what either person's saying.
Yeah, but sometimes it's good for a scream.
What I think Jason should have done is he should have said, Ron, stop, everybody stop, Ron.
Put Ron. You should have said, "Put Ron on hold."
Put Ron on hold. Yeah, put Ron on hold. Ron will explain something to you. I like your passion. You got some fire here. You got to let me talk. So let's try this again, Ron. I'm going to punch you back up. Okay. You can. I'm going to say something, and then you can retort to that. I think you're right. It should have gone there. You should have made the move for the hold and not the hang up. I got this DM from somebody that made me laugh. And it has to do with JP, and that's why this you brought it up first. It said, JP's really showcasing his elite cross-examination skills from Temple. Quote, Ron, did you say Tony Romo never had a 300-yard game in the playoff? I have his stats right here. 8 touchdowns, 2 picks. Pretty good, Ron. And then Ron said, did I hear you say 300 yards in a game, JP? No, you did not, Ron. JP was the one who got embarrassed right there. Yeah, he tried to flex stats.
He got shrapnel.
Ron was, you know what? Ron was good. I'll give you that.
Hey, he came to Jason's defense and he took the bullet.
Yeah, he took out 2 junkies in 1 go. Yeah, call back in anytime, yeah, Ron. If for some reason you listen to Bitsies, which I doubt you do, but.
Hey, speaking of call-ins.
Yeah.
Adam called in Thursday show.
Yeah.
And he dropped the bombshell that he is dating.
Yeah, yeah.
When did you know about this?
I've known for a couple months, since Halloween, since E-verse.
Why have you been holding out on me?
I've been holding out on you because...
Do you not think I have the vault?
No, I think maybe I was just curious to see where this went, because... First off, Awad's dating saga has been a big part of his history on the show. Now, look, it's getting honestly a little bit complicated because he's been off the show for a few years now.
He's turning into that tertiary character that people may not know.
Right. Absolutely. And that will continue to fade over the years as we get new listeners, or people just aren't caring about Awad as he's a character on the show anymore.
Sometimes stars burn out.
Right. I mean, if Robin Valdez quit the show, I mean, Brett doesn't get talked about much anymore. You're just out of sight, out of mind. And that's kind of the way it works. And so I'm not really sure how much people really care about Awad's dating life anymore. I mean, I know there's plenty of people who never cared in the first place, but the people who did care.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've known for quite a while, and he's been bragging to me about all that sex he's been having. He's been really lamenting the later portion of that call about how he's having to beat women off with a stick. And actually, I think it there's some truth to that. Okay. And I can't believe it's happening to AWOD. Like, if it happens to Adam, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah, okay.
But I think we all have, if you think back to your, even back to your middle school days, nostalgia Valdez.
Yeah, we love nostalgia.
Where you can be, not have a girl for a year or two, whatever it is, just be on a, just a loser,
dry spell.
Cold streak, right? But as soon as you get bunned up, I'll even say it. There's always a hotter chick that's interested in you. Not just anyone. There's always a hotter chick that's interested in you. And you're always, you're like, damn it. Where were you 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And not saying that AWOD has said that, but he has told me that there's been a bunch of hotties, Richmond hotties.
Yeah, Richmond
that have been, when he's out, it's his boys at the bar. And look, if there's one person that would never cheat on his girlfriend, or two people, it would be Cakes and AWOD. AWOD just, he's too pure-hearted. He would never do that to a girl. And so he's just really frustrated that he could have been having sex all this time.
He's lamenting the fact that, hey, where were you during my 3-year dry spell?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the floodgates are open.
Mm-hmm. And so he's the cock of the walk right now. But does he got that big energy right now, Valdez, where he's
hey, it's hard to imagine.
It's very hard to imagine him having that.
You remember what I used to always say to him? You probably can't say it on air. I'll edit it out if I say. Remember, I say you always have a tiny.
Okay. You definitely cannot.
I know.
You definitely cannot.
But remember, I used to say to them that all the time.
It's coming back.
It would always get a giggle out of you.
So it's almost like you can't even fake that. A lot of times you can't fake that confidence. It's all natural for some guys where I think there's a lot to that. It's a vibe. Like, he's really clearly, AWOD's not better looking than he was a couple months ago. He's not dressing better than he was a couple months ago.
This is what it is. It's women. Women can smell desperation, right?
And they smelled that for years on him.
And it was oozing off out of AWOD's pores. That desperation became his musk. And anytime he entered a room, it was almost like a Febreze being sprayed all over. It was almost like a Glad strip.
But
of desperation. But now that the hose of desperation has been turned off, now it's turning heads.
But AWOD needs to know that scent, like a cologne, it does dissipate after a short while. It's not like women are going to be throwing themselves at him for the next year he's in a relationship. It lasts like a month or two, a couple months, and then it goes away.
You know what AWOD reminds me of? Uncle Leo.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, remember? Yes,
Seinfeld reference. Here we go.
Remember, Uncle Leo, Jerry had to convince that he should be out there swinging, hitting the town. He shouldn't attach himself to one girl.
Yeah.
And then when his parents were getting ready to move into his apartment, he had to convince Uncle Leo that he was ugly and that he should be with that girl so that his parents wouldn't live with Jerry Seinfeld.
All right. Yeah, I do remember. It's been a while.
He should be out there swinging. Yeah.
You know, that happened to me one time, Valdez.
What's that?
Back in Arizona, back when I was a budding radio producer or whatever, bored up.
Drag just sat up in his chair.
The hottest girl, literally the stunning, beautiful, was butt size for me immediately. This was actually a couple months before I moved out to D.C. Immediately after I started dating another girl. And I kind of like.
Did you screw this up? How did you screw this up?
Oh, I fumbled it. Of course, I fumbled that bag. Of course, because I actually, too, I felt bad. Like, this girl wasn't even my girlfriend at the time, but I had, like, kind of dated.
Talking.
We weren't exclusive, but we'd already slept together. And so I know she had feelings. And she was, they were both pretty good. But the new girl was a 10, like a legitimate Scottsdale 10. Okay. And I couldn't believe, and she only liked me because she was like,
on the radio.
I was on the radio. Yeah. Like, this is 2006 or something. Yeah, 2007.
This is prime radio.
And I was young and she was young. And
what is it about this industry?
I don't know. It's intoxicating. It was intoxicating. Yeah. I don't know if it still was anymore. But I just remember like lamenting so much. Like, where were you? I can't not see this other girl. I have to play this one out and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And it lasted long enough where the hot girl was no longer around and I moved away.
You moved away.
I moved away. I talked to her a few times after me and that other girl broke up. but I was out here.
Were you groveling?
Yeah, I was groveling. Like 2 years later.
Hey, how many pictures of your did you send to her from Allie?
A few. She sent me nudes. Oh. Yeah, those were the glory days. They're nudes from a blurry cell phone.
You don't still have those. There's no chance.
You'd be surprised. There's a special folder.
I don't know if I want to see that folder.
Yeah, like every couple of years, I'll remember it and think about it and try to search it out. I can never remember where I stashed it. Yeah.
You hid it from yourself?
Yeah.
You need a map?
No, I actually remember. I don't mind admitting this. When I first started dating my wife, I had those photos for a while, my now wife, and I deleted them. I had a lot. Okay. Actually, we'll say I had a lot because when I was grasping like a year or two later, she would actually send me some nudes and stuff. And and then I started dating my wife. And of course I liked my wife a lot at the time and I felt bad again. I was like, I can't have these nude photos of this other girl I know. So I deleted, I don't know, 95% of them. And then I remember
you kept the three good ones.
And then I remember I stumbled into a couple of them a few years later.
The cloud.
Yeah. I remember pulling out my old laptop, trying to go through the recycled bin. And they were gone. They were gone. There was everything. It's all but a memory now.
Yeah, you don't know this, but Drab brought his old laptop in for the IT guy to restore. Is there any way you can piece this ROM back together?
Hey, you know what? but it is a vibe of when sexual energy, I should say, when you're dating someone new, the confidence that comes along with it.
It's women, number one, can smell desperation. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's, he's with someone. Mm-hmm. What does he have? The mystery of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he's okay looking. What does he have that she's so interested in? I want that. It's almost like FOMO.
Yeah.
It's female FOMO.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why you should, if you have like a girlfriend, like a girl who's a friend and hangs out in your group, if she was she should be a better wingman and pretend like she's your girlfriend when you go out. So other girls think that that's your girl and then they get jealous and then, you know, that's how you move in.
That's a great strategy.
I never had it. I was never that close with a friend, a girlfriend that would do something like that for me.
If I was that close, I would probably just have sex.
Yeah, I would just try to sleep with that girl.
I'm too stupid. I would just try to bang her.
You know what? Something I didn't notice about, you know, I've always said on the show that JP doesn't like AWOD.
Yeah, that's your theory. Yes.
It's not a theory. I think it's pretty much fact at this point. I want you to go back to earlier in this week when it was first referenced. So Wednesday at 9:30 so when it was first referenced, when EB said, does AWOD have a girlfriend? The first thing that JP said was, I don't know it word for word, but he completely dismissed us having a conversation about AWOD dating someone. When AWOD's entire saga on the show, what he's known for is that he can't get a girl.
Yeah, a lovable loser.
It should have been breaking news. Get Adam Cole ready. AWOD, what's this? AWOD's got a girlfriend. And JP said, so what? He's 30. Shouldn't he have a girl by now? He had no interest in talking about AWOD's dating life. And that kind of wrecked me a little bit because even though he doesn't like him, it was quick, but you have to be
observant
to know that JP, he doesn't like talking about AWOD's dating life or whatever he thinks
So he didn't want to, so he's not dismissing him for having a girlfriend, but he's dismissing him as a conversation.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. And it ricked me a little tiny bit because I'm always aware when he takes
your radar's up.
When he takes those shots, he dismisses AWOD.
Adam's talked about your radar.
Now,
up.
JP will hear this and JP will say, I promote AWOD more than anyone. I say he's on. I asked him what he wanted to talk about on the show today. Right. And that's true. He does. But he doesn't really have any interest in talking about us having a conversation about AWOD's personal life.
And it's always kind of bothered me a little bit.
I will have to take a listen. Hey, we got to take a break, though.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to get into this physical trait that a lot of psychopaths have. We want to get into that. But before we do that, we got to let you know that today's episode of Bit Season is brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy Drink. Don't Sleep supports me, supports Drabby, supports Bit Season, supports AWOD. Get some today at don'tsleepenergy.com and use that promo code BITSEASON. That's promo code BITSEASON for 10% off every order, not just your first, every order. Follow and like on all social media at Don't Sleep Energy. We'll be right back.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
What's up, everyone? Matt Valdez here to tell you that today's show is sponsored by SeatGeek. Drab and I love SeatGeek. With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. I have the app on my phone. Drab has it on his. We love it.
Hey, Valdez, looking at this AFC divisional game in Baltimore this weekend, there's some amazing deals through SeatGeek. If you are a Ravens fan, you want to get to this game, this could be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. These prices are actually very attainable.
Yeah, SeatGeek has the green dots on it, so you know what deals are amazing. And I'm assuming you're stumbling across a lot of amazing deals at the bank, at M&T Bank Stadium. But not only sporting events, SeatGeek has concerts, festivals, and much, much more. Just get the app on your phone and go through it, type in the event, type in the date, and boom, you can find tickets for it.
With over 28 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. They put all the tickets across the web in one place to make sure you're getting a good deal. Each ticket is rated on a scale of 1 to 10, so look for the green dots. Green dots mean good. Red dots mean bad.
And right now, you can get $20 off your first purchase with promo code BITSEASON. That's one word, BITSEASON. Right now, just type it in the promo code BITSEASON into SeatGeek, and you'll save $20.
We'll see you at the bank.
See you at the bank.
All right, welcome back to Bit Season. Valdez, before we get into, I think maybe this interesting story that you found here, and we call it left in the binder because the junkies didn't get to it, but actually is a pretty intriguing theory out there. Well, one of the stories that we did talk about today is DeAndre Ayton missing the game because of having icy conditions at his house. He couldn't get out.
He was stranded.
And then earlier in the week, our new guy, Michael Marr, missed the show because he was snowed in. Yeah. He literally canceled the night before. Now, look, Mike can work remotely, so it is a little bit different.
Mike does have the capability of working remotely.
And I'm sure we've talked about this before.
I guess we all really can have the ability.
Right, yeah, I know. There is a lot of pride on this show, or maybe just this station, or talk radio in general, of being reliable when the snow comes.
Can I rely on you?
And
Valdez, that's funny to about two people. Yeah.
Valdez and I also, like, Valdez, I know for a fact, would never call out because of snow or ice. Like, he would be here. He would figure it out.
He would stay in.
I know I would be here. Because there's just no way. And it's not because, like, I'm some great worker or anything. It's just ingrained in us dumb radio people that you have to be here. There's no excuse. As a producer, someone has to be here to run the board, to make sure, and then the hosts have to be here because
they have a show to do, and it's hard to just put content in there.
And the way that I think it was ingrained into us is not that this dumb show has to be on so we can talk about
the show must go on.
It's just like ingrained into us that this is a public service, and we're a public broadcasting on airwaves that we provide a service to people, like an information service. And in times of emergencies, like if the aliens appeared above the White House,
Like someone needs to get the message out.
Right.
And so when a storm comes, like we technically have the ability, like if everything goes to hell in a handbasket, we can get the word out. Like if power goes out, you go to your car, you listen to the radio.
At the end of the day, we are responsible for disseminating information to the public.
Right. Absolutely. And that's kind of what we did during COVID. Like that's what we had to be here.
Yeah.
Right.
I had a special pass that if
special pass?
You had the same pass. It was
Do they call those people?
Essential workers.
We are essential workers.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I was bitter. I was bitter when teachers and firefighters and nurses and police were all being honored at halftimes or before the game. We didn't get the call because that was part of my bit. And also back pay was a big one.
You know what would be nice if the government did like an essential worker pay increase?
That was part of my bit. But the special pass was in case gas lines became overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
We had to cut the line pass.
Oh yeah.
And by the way, I'm sure someone wouldn't take out their gun and put it in your face, right? When there's a crisis amongst us. Hey, have we ever told anyone? Remember, speaking of disseminating information, AWOD's radio interview that he had to do.
I don't even remember that. What was
his job interview? He was asked a certain scenario.
Oh yeah, I don't remember if we ever talked about that.
Maybe we have, maybe we haven't. But AWOD,
refresh people's memories.
But AWOD was doing his big job interview
in Richmond
for a radio station for 910. I didn't know if we could be specific.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's having dinner, basically a dinner interview.
And I think he was interviewing for this job.
The job that he currently has.
About 2 years ago, right?
Yes. And it's with all the bigwigs. It's with like the GM of the station, the program director of the station, maybe someone from sales is there.
So in 2 years ago, in February of 2022.
Yeah. Think of the setting like the Palm, like a big power dinner.
There was a major development going on in Eastern Europe of a war that was breaking out, I believe.
Yes, with Russia and Ukraine.
Which is still going on. And Adam was asked in his interview, if you're live on the air doing your sports show and Russia drops a nuclear bomb on Ukraine, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And then Adam, I guess, just as he's getting ready to stuff his face full of a wedge salad, looks at his bosses and he says, I'll just keep talking sports. I don't know why that's so funny.
It's just such a fun, like, it's such an AWOD answer. But you know who agreed with him was Eric Bickle. Eric goes, well, I don't know what I would do. I'm like, Eric,
You cover the sniper happening?
I go, Eric, one of the things that people are most fond, longtime listeners of the show, most fond memories of you is how you guys handled 9/11. You tell me if a nuclear bomb is dropped on this earth, you're not going to address it? You're going to talk about Jim Harbaugh? Yeah. I mean, come on.
I don't know.
I would just keep talking sports.
Have we told that before?
I think we have. Probably. I don't know.
It's just funny.
All right. What is going on with this psychopath story? I perused it briefly, but I don't have all the information for it.
All right. So the New York Post has a study out, and it's trying to find a common physical characteristic between psychopaths that links psychopaths to this physical trait. Mm-hmm. And you read through the story, and it says the majority of people who are classified as psychotic have this trait, and it is your index finger is longer than your ring finger.
All right.
So everyone hold out your hand.
Everyone look at the back of your hand. Look at your nails.
Yeah.
All right, ring pointer finger.
Pointer finger, okay. index finger.
Close to the thumb.
Yeah.
Ring finger over here.
Yeah.
So you're a psychopath.
Drab's looking at his best friend, his right hand.
All right, my pointer finger is definitely shorter than my ring finger.
Yes, yeah, so it's actually
by a significant margin.
I was going to say, it's substantially shorter.
Yeah, on both fingers. On both fingers.
Oh, on both fingers. I didn't know we're doing both. All right. All right. Here is mine. Here, I'm showing you yours.
The first thing I noticed about your hands is you have very well manicured nails.
Well, you know, I cut my nails weekly.
You do?
Yes, it's a golf thing.
I can't even, honestly,
it
may have been 5 years since I've clipped my nails.
I don't like my nails poking into my skin when I'm gripping a golf club. Mm. So, yes, I do have well manicured fingernails. They're also very dirty.
A little bit dirty, but your fingers are also a little, they're not sausage fingers, but they're thicker than I would have imagined. Like they look swollen or something.
What do you mean?
Like your knuckles are swollen.
I do. My knuckles are like they crack all the time.
Well, you got to stop doing that.
I do crack. Like my knuckles crack all the time.
Well, I think you're on
rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah, I mean, you got to stop doing that. Hold them back up. Your knuckles, Val, these are clearly swollen. Your middle finger there, that is way too big. That knuckle.
Hold on,
right
let me
there.
See yours. Let me see yours.
We're flipping each other off here.
Yours is big too.
Not like yours. Yours is as clearly swollen or fat. I don't know. Yeah, so you see how mine has it narrows.
Look at my index finger knuckle.
Yeah, you got to get a hold of that. Stop cracking your knuckles or something's going on there.
Turmeric.
What does turmeric do? Is that good for your fingers?
It's supposed to help with inflammation.
All right, you got inflammation for sure.
I didn't even notice that.
Or you just naturally got some. I've never looked at your fingers closely before, but they are a little swollen. I would say I'm not going to call them fat. I think they're swollen. You got to get those back down to bony. You want bony fingers.
I don't know. I think it's manly to have big meaty hands.
Oh really? All right. Yeah. Maybe it is. I'm sure women love big strong hands.
Yeah.
All right. So. So you're saying psychopathic behavior?
Yeah, yours, so you have psychopathic behavior.
Yours are
behavior.
Actually almost even, probably. Don't they say that about toes, too? Like one toe?
Like your big, if your big toe's smaller than your...
Yeah, you're
your
a weirdo, too, or something.
Something along those lines. So Drab is a little psychotic.
Yeah, I mean, people always say that about me. What they say about me is that I'm the... maybe I say about myself, but I'm the Terminator. Like, I don't...
You call yourself the Terminator?
I've been referred to as the Terminator by Dukes for two decades.
Why?
Because I don't...
Emotionless?
Yeah, I'm emotionless. Like, every once in a while, like, there's no in-between with me, right? Like, for 99% of the time, I'm emotionless. Like, I'm just the Terminator. Uh-huh. Nothing affect. Like, I don't.
You're a cyborg.
Music means nothing to me, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But then I do have that 1% where I do rage out.
Well, that 1% explains a lot about your finger.
Why is that? Well, then I'm a psychopath.
Yes, because your rage is
psychotic. Yeah, but
psychotic.
I really only rage out on radio fights.
It's like, actually, it might be psychotic rage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because think about it. You almost killed your brother.
It's true, yeah. Yeah. It was a battle.
Yeah. And when you go crazy, it's like a flip is switched in you.
But don't they say, like, psychopaths, they torture cats and all that kind of stuff?
Well, that's how you
play with fire. I did play with fire a lot, yeah.
You're a pyro.
I mean, yeah, but what kid wasn't a pyro? What kid didn't put beetles and roly-polies in an envelope and light the envelope on fire? All right.
Yeah, no, I used to take...
Or burn, get the microscope out, do all that.
Burn
thing.
Ants.
Yeah.
Hey, you think I didn't take ants from the front yard and ants from the backyard and put them in a container and watch them fight?
Yeah, of course.
Every kid did that.
Yeah, that's you're learning about the world. Yeah. Looking back on it, it's dumb and you feel bad, but...
I feel like you would have other psychotic mannerisms besides just your fingers, Drabby. Like, for instance, I think you're a psychopath if you sleep with socks on.
I do like sleeping with socks on every once in a while, but I'm just so cold right now that I think you have to throw that out.
That's just personal. But
what about if you sleep with a blankie and you're 41 years old?
I mean, that's kind of psychotic.
That's
behavior.
More psychotic than sleeping with socks.
Hey, what about talking to yourself?
Having
conversations with yourself.
I like talking to myself.
What do you say to yourself?
I do a lot of, come on, man. You know, come on. Yeah, yell at myself. I curse at myself.
When? When are you doing this?
At the gym a lot.
Actually, hold on.
Before, you're telling me that when you are lifting, Valdez, yeah, and you fail, right? You don't say, oh, you f***ing pussy. yeah. You know, you don't curse at yourself.
Of course. A little bit. I'm down on myself.
I actually verbalize it.
I actually catch Drab a lot. He doesn't realize this.
Right.
I catch him in his psychotic behavior. Drab goes, you're such an idiot, Drab. If I had a dollar for every time Drab called himself stupid or you're such a...
You know why, though? I think it's good.
Why do you berate yourself?
It keeps you in check. Humility is needed in this world more than ever. And if you yell at yourself and you keep yourself in check, then you don't get too big an ego and it balances. Keep staying medium. I'm all about staying medium.
It actually kind of scares me when you do it.
Yeah,
Drab.
Hey,
have you ever hit yourself?
No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Like flogged yourself?
No,
yourself.
That's psychotic behavior.
So would you say JP has psychotic behavior?
Why? Does he do that?
Because, well, remember the guys made him, like, hit himself on air?
Remember
he punched himself? Like, that is the most psychotic thing that anyone's ever done on the show.
I do slap myself when I'm falling asleep on 66 or 495. Because there's no place to pull. You don't ever do that? I told you. Like, I have borderline, narcolepsy. But that's not the right word.
Narcolepsy is when you fall asleep.
Okay, yeah. What's the one when you sleep with, have sex with dead people?
That's necrophilia.
Okay, I get them confused. Narcolepsy, yeah. Where I'm driving on 66 and like driving home from work and I'm falling asleep. It happens to me like a lot. I'll start slapping myself while I'm driving. But that's not because I'm mad at myself. I'm just trying to stay awake. And it doesn't really work. I do love sleeping while I'm driving. We've talked about this. It's a struggle. I take micro 1 second naps while I'm driving all the time, and it's horrible. And then I yell at myself, "You're so effing stupid! Wake up! Quack quack! Pull!" You know, and that's when I pull over in the business parking lot and take a nap.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but when I'm mad at myself, no. Like, I miss a bet. I place a bad bet. Oh, we should do it. No, I don't do that.
What are other psychotic behaviors do you feel like?
Well, shower sitting has always been attached to me.
I'd say that's weird. I don't know if I would consider that psychotic. Although, it actually, when you picture it, it is kind of psychotic. I say
don't knock it till you try it. That's what I always say. We would be living a happier world if more people would sit in the shower.
What about chronic masturbation?
What?
I feel like that's psychotic.
No, first of all, are you accusing me of being a chronic masturbator?
I'm not accusing. I'm just trying to think of in general.
No, I think that's a vice. Okay. That's an addiction that people don't really talk about, but it's up there with alcoholism and drug use is a problems in this country. Probably is chronic masturbation. At least in marriages, I'm assuming.
I think that's kind of a psychotic.
No.
Just because you're of what you're watching. And you've become normal.
You're talking about the content.
Yeah, yeah, more well,
oh,
just
okay, like
the, not only the frequency but what like you're watching.
I don't watch that. I'm not into that kind of stuff. Are you talking about like watching girls have sex with like horses or something, or dogs,
bestiality,
or
I would consider that psychotic.
Mutilation.
I would consider that psychotic.
Can I just, or scat? I'm not into any of that. I think I've been accused of being into that stuff.
Like humiliation porno. Yeah.
What, like cuckold?
No. Like degrading.
No, I'm actually not into any of that kind of stuff.
You would consider that. I consider that psychotic behavior.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not into any. Now, have I seen those videos? Of course. Have I seen the Mr. Hand video 1,000 times?
Drab loves two girls, one cup.
Yeah. No. Two girls, one cup makes me puke.
All right, but just on the other end of the spectrum, I think it's not just the things that are like that are psychotic. Mm. But if you're too good, It's almost like psychotic.
Like behavior. A Tim Tebow?
Yes. I think Tim Tebow is a psycho.
No, he's just a godly guy. And the people can't wrap their brains around that someone could be so nice.
Or what's the religious group? Like, just like teetotalers, the soaking, like soaking stuff.
I don't really know. I mean,
like if you have that, I feel like.
No, that's not. That's impressionable, I think, more so than being psychotic. You know, what's the difference? You might know. You're to learn. What's the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath?
I think psychopath is more physical, isn't it? And then a sociopath.
I thought I was more so. More it
would
of a
be
soci-
mind, would be mind effing someone.
No, sociopath. I think is like you don't process emotions.
And can you be both?
Sociopath, antisocial personality disorder, sometimes is a mental health condition which a person consistently shows no regard for right and wrong and ignores the rights and feelings of others.
All right.
I'm not a sociopath because I have a conscience.
Yes. Then what's psychopath? I always thought psychopath was more physical.
A person affected by chronic mental disorder with abnormal or violent social behavior. Okay, violent. Yeah. All right, you're right. So psychopath, more violent, sociopath, can't separate right and wrong. Okay. Necessarily, Aaron.
I actually think a sociopath would be worse than a psychopath. I mean, I understand the violence.
Neither one's good.
Yeah, you don't want to be on any kind of path.
I'm not a big violence guy. I mean, I just talked about, I guess, burning roly polies, but I was in puberty. All right, that doesn't count.
Give me a break.
That is interesting, Valdi. So what does this study say? Like how many, like everybody, it can't be everybody.
The majority of people who are diagnosed as psychotic.
It's called the dark triad. Yes. Dark triad traits are highly socially discouraged attitudes, namely narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism. I'm thinking that's what that word is.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Don't they always say people in radio are psychos too?
That's more of an ego thing.
Narcissism.
Yeah, narcissism. Yeah, so I guess there's a lot of narcissists in radio, but I used to think that, but there's a lot of narcissists everywhere.
The entire world has turned narcissistic.
Like, police officers, firefighters, whatever. You tell me there's not narcissistic firefighters. Of course, they're
pretty. All those hot guys with abs on the calendars.
Yeah, I mean, of course. Now, radio does seem to attract a lot of egomaniacs, but.
Yeah, I gotta hear your voice.
You like to hear yourself talk.
You think what you say is important.
Yeah. All right. Well, Valdez, do you want to get into the parlay this week? The Jumbo Lump Parlay.
We got to do our Jumbo Lump Parlay brought to you by Crab Sports, Maryland's number one local sports book. Crab Sports is the only sports book that offers special boosts and parlays on all the DMV teams. We're partnering with local hero brands and businesses to bring you the best localized betting experience. Make sure you sign up now to the Jumbo Lump Parlay with Crab Sports. And Crab Sports wants to remind you to please play responsibly. For help, visit mdgamblinghelp.org or call 1-800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 years of age or older. And just a reminder, when you sign up for Crab Sports and use that promo code BIDDIES in the App Store, and make sure you're searching all of the boosts, especially the Jumbo Lump.
Yeah, this promo code is BIDDIES. So if you're keeping track at home, love Crab Sports. All right, Valdez. Also, tomorrow on the show, I'm looking forward to discussing possible punishment for you. A physical punishment.
Punishment.
A violent punishment. Because
you psycho.
You said the Ravens are winning the Super Bowl. You're doing the Johnny bit. And so I'm going to think tonight and maybe discuss with the guys. We got to come up with a punishment if the Ravens.
I can't make.
Winning the Super Bowl is unfair, but if they lose to the Texans, we got to do some sort of Texas punishment for you.
Texas justice.
Texas justice. I don't know what it is.
I can't make my own punishment. Just
FYI. Right. Yeah. That's
part of the rule. So I'm going to get together with a think tank tonight and come up with
AKA
something.
Yourself?
I'm leaning towards something. I don't know why this keeps jumping out. Something with a naked cowboy. Like you wearing a cowboy hat and shirtless and wearing those briefs and cowboy boots, maybe standing on a street corner. Maybe something violent. I don't know. We got to think. If you got any ideas, tweet us at Bit Season. Bring it up tomorrow on the show. All right, Valdez, what's your play?
My play is Cade Otton, anytime touchdown scorer. I love the way he looked against the Eagles. He looked fast. Maybe the Eagles defense sucks, but I saw Baker Mayfield really targeting Cade Otton. I know he had a goal line look that he should have caught. So I like Cade Otton anytime touchdown score and what should be a shootout between the Bucks and Lions. I really like that. That part of the parlay is plus 310, so you know the boost is going to be juicy.
That is, I'm actually really looking forward to that, Valdez, because this could be a big payout for us. I'm really, Valdez, this is a tingle play. Last week I had a tingle play with the Rams.
The tingle's been...
I was so close. I should have just took...
I should have taken the points.
Here's my tingle play. Chiefs at Bills. I'm just not that impressed with Kansas City. I know they got a great defense and Bills have lost plenty of games, but so have the Chiefs. Bills, I think right now, are the second best team in the AFC. And I think they possibly could beat the Ravens in Baltimore in an AFC championship game. Possibly. I'm not trying to offend you. Mm-hmm. But I think the Chiefs game, that's easy cooking for them. With the way Josh Allen is playing really, really well right now. It's a home game away from the Chiefs kingdom. I think the Bills, Valdez, this is a touchdown game for them. They're going to win this game by a touchdown. The Bills Mafia.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You're going to do the table jumping?
Tony Romo's going to be in his pants during this game, Valdez. Watching Mahomes and Allen go back and forth. But I think the Bills pull away in the second half in this one. Let's go Bills minus 2.5. I really like this.
Hey, I just got an update, Drab.
Yeah.
I think we can talk about it now.
All right, let's do it.
All right. I am so confident
that
the Ravens are winning the Super Bowl, and this was okayed by everyone at Crab Sports and at the station.
All right.
This is what I need you to do.
Okay.
I need you to go on to Crab Sports. And,
on it.
All right. And you need to make a futures wager on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl. That's got to be done before kickoff on Saturday. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have an old Crab Sports ticket, that works too. But the ticket minimum must be $50. $50 for the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
By what day? Thursday. So it's got to be done by the 21st. By what time? 4:30?
4:29.
Okay. Yeah, futures bet on the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
All right. Tag BitSeason at BitSeason on Twitter and on Instagram and tag Crab Sports on Twitter and on Instagram. Show us your ticket and you will be entered to win my personal Lamar Jackson jersey, which is signed by the soon to be 2-time MVP.
You have a Lamar signed jersey.
I have a Lamar signed jersey.
So you enter a raffle for what? If the Ravens win
the
Super Bowl.
And if the Ravens win the Super Bowl and you show your ticket, okay, you show your ticket
before
Wednesday.
Not only are you going to be rich.
Not only are you going to win some cash, but you will win the Lamar signed jersey too.
I like it. You're doing that.
I'm doing that
because you'll be so excited that they won.
Stop giving out all the secrets.
What's a signed jersey? Yeah. Okay, you got a Lombardi memories for a lifetime.
I got a Lombardi and I got memories. So the signed jersey will be not nothing to me, but I won't feel bad about parting with it.
Dude, that's a very nice gesture.
Yeah. So
I think I will stop by National Harbor on the way home, and that McDonald's that I like to go to. That's where I slip over into Maryland.
You're not eligible to win it.
Why?
I don't know.
No, but you kind of sold me a little bit on the Ravens this week, so yeah. I want to make sure I get in that futures bet.
So tag Crab Sports, tag BitSeason on Instagram or Twitter. You know what? Do both with your $50 Ravens Super Bowl future. And when they win, I'm going to give you my Lamar signed jersey.
You will be entered into a raffle with the other people who have the slips.
Yes. Yeah. All right, cool. And then people from Derek over at Crab Sports will pick a winner at random, and we'll get all of your information, and we'll send you the jersey.
I like it. Yeah, I like it. And you know what? You've sold me on just how confident you are.
My, my confidence is oozing.
You need to be aware. Like, I'm telling you, if he's confident about the Ravens, your ears should be perked. Okay?
Have you never seen me like this?
Never. And so it's getting me a little bit sized. He knows the team almost better than anyone besides Glenn Clark. All right, guys, have a great weekend, and we will see you tomorrow on the Junkies. And I'm very excited to watch some football this weekend. Let's win those bets.
See you guys
later.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.